And it's time once again for Eating and Drinking with the Current. It's our Wednesday check-in with the morning show's food, dining, and beverage authorities from around town. Today, we're talking to James Norton. He edits The Heavy Table. That's a daily Twin Cities-based magazine passionately telling the stories of food and drink from roots to table in the upper Midwest. James, how are you doing?
I am doing really well.
So this is something we're going to talk about today that I know Sean and I are a little tentative about, but we're eager to learn more.
Yeah.
Meatless meats?
Meatless meats. There is a vegan butcher shop that has opened up in Northeast Minneapolis. I, for one, couldn't be more excited. I think it's fantastic. And let me put this in context. Do you guys know what Eisenhower steaks are?
No.
If you take a 5-inch thick ribeye and put it directly on the coals of your grill, the flames just come up and it turns into this beautiful meat inferno. And the steak's actually delicious. It's such a thick, big piece of steak that you've crusted with, you know, salt and pepper and all kinds of different spices. It just comes out wonderfully. I did Eisenhower steaks a few months ago. They were delicious. I love meat. I'm a meat dude.
Yeah.
And I also like non-meat meat. And I think the Herbivorous Butcher, which is this new shop up in Northeast, is doing some really cool stuff.
Okay, so how do you make non-meat meat?
So non-meat meat, the make method kind of varies from thing to thing. What is interesting to note about what Herbivorous Butcher is doing is they are really trying to make direct meat analogs. Their stuff isn't meant to be like vegetable protein fun tofu fricky stuff. You know, it's like you go in there, you can get Korean short ribs or you can get pastrami, and they're using nutritional yeast and gluten, tomato paste, apple juice, a lot of natural spices and seasonings to make these sort of meatless meat analogs.
So run us down a couple, because I am a pastrami fan.
I'm a pastrami fan too, and it's really kind of fascinating what they came up with in this case. It's these discs that look kind of like pastrami, but not quite. You're not going to mistake them for pastrami unless it's a very dark room. And you put them on a sandwich. I put them on rye with mustard. Seems like a standard kind of approach to eating pastrami or pastrami-like substances. I took a bite. It was missing a little bit of the, I would say, the unctuous fattiness of like a pastrami. That wasn't there, but the flavor was really there because so much of pastrami is the way it's seasoned. And I think what Herbivorous Butcher is doing really well, I think across the board, and I could talk more about it as we go on, is they're getting that balance right of flavors. And so you start eating it and you know, two or three bites in, I'm thinking, oh, I'm eating a decent pastrami sandwich. I really enjoyed it. I made one to sort of analyze it and write about it for Heavy Table. And then a couple nights later, I'm like, you know what? I'm hungry. I'm gonna go eat another one. That was good.
If you're a vegetarian and you got into not eating meat because you don't like the taste of meat, is this a place to avoid?
I don't think so. The thing about the Herbivorous Butcher stuff is it doesn't taste like a frustrating pale knockoff. You know, some fake meats, particularly like fake hot dogs, you eat one of those, you're like, you know what I could go for is a hot dog.
Right.
Yeah, you
and
take
you run
a
out
bite
to the store.
In.
Yeah, yeah, it's really unsatisfying. These don't taste like pale shadows of what they're supposed to be. They're actually, in many ways, much closer to the real thing, and I think they would be a satisfying substitute for sure. The nicest experience I had trying their products, they do a Korean short rib, and so there's sort of a sweet and sour sort of hoisin sesame glaze on these things, which I think was very skillfully made. And so I took those, chopped them up, and I stir-fried them with some soy sauce, a little bit more hoisin, some ginger, some garlic, and then I put it on a rice bowl with some peas and a soft-boiled egg. It's a really good rice bowl. I was super happy with it. And actually, in contrast to some of the meat I've worked with in making rice bowls, this stuff is really consistent. There's no gristle. There's no question mark bits. It's very easy to work with and very quick to work with. And so for a weeknight rice bowl, I might actually go with this.
Well, the Herbivorous Butcher, it is open now, so you can go and check it out for yourself. But before you head out, James, we did want to talk about the North Coast Nosh you have going on.
February 25th, Thursday night, we're going to get more than 30 local purveyors of food and drink. So we're talking like cheese, we're talking meats, we're talking chocolates. Really great people all getting together at the Solar Arts Building in Northeast. Chow Girls is kind of the administrators of that thing. It's a really fun space. The food's going to be great. The drink's going to be great. Tickets are pretty affordable, and it's just a blast of a time if you're into good food, if you're into local food. So please check it out on heavytable.com. It's a North Coast Nosh. We are expecting to just have a great event.
Perfect. Well, we'll have a link to that up at thecurrent.org. And if you are just tuning in now and you missed all of the conversation about the herbivorous butcher, you can check out some photos and details all at thecurrent.org. James, thank you so much for stopping in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
That's James Norton. He edits The Heavy Table, a daily Twin Cities-based magazine passionately telling the stories of food and drink from roots to table in the upper Midwest. And it's here on 89.3 The Current.